You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Tuesday, February 10, 2026. Fuel, the pipelines, tankers and trucks that move refined products to the lower half of PADD 1. Published by Housley Carr. There's a staggeringly large disconnect between the vast volumes of gasoline, diesel and jet fuel consumed within the six states in EIA's PADD 1C subregion, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia, and the truly paltry amounts of transportation fuels produced there. That dichotomy spurred a multi-decade build-out of what are now highly efficient pipeline, marine and trucking networks that now deliver about 1.3 million barrels per day of refined products to what EIA refers to as the Lower Atlantic states. In today's RBN blog, we'll discuss these networks and explain how they keep the region running. The half-dozen states in PADD 1C have a combined population of more than 60 million and a GDP of more than $4 trillion. That puts the Lower Atlantic region on par with the UK or France or Italy, in other words, a real economic powerhouse. But PADD 1C has only one small refinery within its borders, a 23,000 barrels per day facility at the northern tip of West Virginia's Panhandle that focuses on lubricant production and markets virtually all of its modest gasoline and diesel output very locally. That's a roundabout way of saying that the region needs to pipe, truck, tanker or barge in more than 99.9% of the gasoline and diesel it consumes, as well as literally every drop of jet fuel. Ergon Refining's Newell, West Virginia, refinery doesn't typically make any jet, as the refined, kerosene-based fuel is commonly referred to. As we said in the introduction, the volumes that need to be hauled in are significant. Florida is the number three consumer of gasoline in the U.S., behind only California and Texas, and Georgia, number five, North Carolina, number six, and Virginia, number 11, aren't far behind. It's a similar story for diesel, with Florida trailing only Texas and California, in that order, and as for jet fuel, Florida, a top tourist destination with a slew of busy airports, is number two, bested only by California. Ironically, as you'll see, Florida is the only state in PADD 1C that depends almost entirely on barged-in and trucked-in volumes of refined products. Its portfolio of pipelines is very limited. The vast majority of the refined products consumed in the lower Atlantic states are produced at refineries in Texas and Louisiana, and piped through the spine of PADD 1C through two pipeline systems, the Colonial Pipeline and the Products Pipeline, the latter of which used to be called the Plantation Pipeline. Note, the latest edition of our Future of Fuels report, coming out in just a few days, provides a detailed forecast for how pad-to-pad movements are expected to change on an annualized basis out to 2050. The 2.5 million barrels per day Colonial Pipeline, which started operating in 1963, is a roughly 5,500-mile system whose main route runs from Houston to Linden, New Jersey, and has several spurs or laterals that pipe fuel to key consumption areas. The main route consists of four distinct pipeline sections, two pipes from Houston to Greensboro, North Carolina, and two pipes from Greensboro North, one that runs to the Baltimore area and another that terminates in northern New Jersey. Since July 2025, Colonial has been owned by Brookfield Infrastructure Partners, which paid previous co-owners KKR, Coke Industries, CDPQ, Quebec's largest pension fund, Shell Midstream, and IFM investors $9 billion for the massive asset. Colonial's operators traditionally have dedicated one of the system's two Houston to Greensboro pipelines to transporting gasoline and the other to moving middle distillates, diesel and jet fuel. At Greensboro, these products go into breakout tanks. From there, they are sent in batches further through the system. See refined, piped, delivered, they're yours for an explanation of how batching works. As we said, there are a few spurs off Colonial, north into Tennessee, south to central and southwestern Georgia, east in North Carolina to Raleigh-Durham, and east and west in Virginia to Richmond, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, and Roanoke. Along Colonial's route, there are more than 20 delivery points as well as four major refined product terminals owned by the pipeline system. The product's SE pipeline, the SE stands for Southeast, is smaller but still quite large, with about 3,100 miles of pipe and a capacity of 660,000 barrels per day. Jointly owned by Kinder Morgan, with a 51% stake, and ExxonMobil, 49%, the pipeline formerly known as Plantation runs from near Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to northern Virginia, close to Washington, D.C. The pipeline's history goes back to the start of World War II. The initial Louisiana to Greensboro, North Carolina, section started operating in January 1942, moving 48,000 barrels per day for four customers. As we said 10 years ago in Move It On Over, the new pipeline was seen as being a genius move. Japan had just attacked Pearl Harbor, German submarines were sinking tankers off the East Coast, and U.S. railroads, the other alternative for transporting gasoline, etc., were operating flat out to move freight and troops. The pipeline's capacity has been expanded repeatedly since World War II, and in 1964 it was extended to Northern Virginia. Also, several spurs were built, to Birmingham and Montgomery, in Alabama, Columbus, Macon, and Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport, in Georgia, Knoxville, Tennessee, Charlotte Douglas Airport, and the Colonial Pipeline at Greensboro, in North Carolina, and Dulles and Reagan National Airports, in Northern Virginia. Gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel is batched through the pipeline to delivery terminals along its route. With the exception of several large airports that receive jet fuel directly by pipe, virtually all the refined products delivered to terminals along the Colonial and Products SE pipelines and their spurs are trucked to their other, off-system terminals, or directly to service stations and other customers. The delivery situation in Florida is very different. The state is far from the main pipes on the Colonial and Products SE systems and close to only a Colonial spur to southwestern Georgia. Some gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel is trucked into Florida from there, but most of its fuel comes in from Texas and Louisiana marine terminals and Chevron's Pascagoula, Mississippi, refinery by Jones Act-compliant tankers and barges. Very rarely, Florida also receives shipments of diesel from European refineries, but only when Europe is long in supply and arbitrage economics are favorable. Imports of gasoline are rarer still. The deepwater ports at Tampa and Port Everglades, near Fort Lauderdale, are by far the largest recipients of tankered or barged in fuel. Other Florida ports receiving significant volumes are Jacksonville and Port Canaveral, both on the state's upper Atlantic coast, and, with much less activity, Seaport Manatee, near Tampa, and Pensacola on the state's panhandle. To help move fuel to market, Florida has four pipelines. Kinder Morgan's Central Florida Pipeline System has two lines from Tampa to Orlando, a 16-inch diameter line that moves batches of gasoline, diesel, and ethanol, and a 10-inch line that moves jet fuel to Orlando International Airport. The state's other pipelines also focus on jet fuel. First, there's Jet Infrastructure's Everglades Pipeline System, which consists of two independent lines that originate from multiple Port Everglades marine terminals and run to the Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, and Miami International Airports. The line to FLL has a capacity of 60,000 barrels per day, and the line to MIA has a capacity of 76,000 barrels per day, and will be expanded to almost 100,000 barrels per day over the next few years. Finally, there's the very short 18,000 barrels per day Tampa Airport pipeline. Tanker trucks play a critically important role statewide. They move refined products in from Alabama and Georgia, and transport immense volumes of gasoline and diesel from storage tanks at the Florida marine terminals listed above to inland terminals or directly to retail customers. Jet fuel distribution within Florida is relatively efficient. It's hard to beat the economics of moving refined products by pipeline, but the systems in place for transporting the state's gasoline and diesel to Florida's 6,000-plus service stations and other demand centers is less than ideal. For one thing, it requires thousands of tanker trucks, many of them traveling long distances to reach populated areas far from the state's major ports. For another, an ongoing and often severe shortage of drivers, especially those licensed to transport hazardous materials, has made it challenging and costly to maintain the flow of refined products from ports to retail stations. And don't forget, Florida is a well-known magnet for hurricanes and tropical storms, which have the potential to seriously disrupt both waterborne and truck deliveries of refined products, a serious concern, given the important roles that both gasoline and diesel play in post-storm recovery. A couple of years ago, those realities spurred a proposal by Belvedere Terminals to develop a rail-based alternative. More specifically, the company proposed a series of trackside storage terminals, one in southern Mississippi and, initially, three along Florida's Atlantic coast, to facilitate the delivery and distribution of refined products by rail. See Train Kept a Rollin' for details. Tanker trucks then would transport fuel to hundreds or even thousands of service stations and other customers. While the plan ran into some local opposition, Belvedere continues to pursue its development and hopes to begin construction on an initial phase later this year, with operation commencing in late 2027. More terminals could be added over the next few years. To sum up, pipeline delivery of the refined products Florida consumes to a dozen or more key distribution points across the state surely would be more cost-effective than the tanker, barge, and truck deliveries that dominate now. Some say rail deliveries would be more efficient too. But Florida has managed to get by with the fuel distribution system now in place and, with a possible assist from rail, it seems likely to stay with the status quo. Fuel was written by James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, and Kirk Hammett. It appears as the first song on Metallica's seventh album, Reload. The video for the song features several American muscle cars drag racing. Metallica's James Hetfield is a muscle car enthusiast and has had several cars built by renowned custom car builder Rick Doors. Both Hetfield and Doors are members of the Beatniks of Coolsville Car Club in California. Hetfield has donated some of his car collection to the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles. Fuel was used in television coverage of NASCAR events and in a 2016 television ad campaign for Dodge Chargers and Challengers. It was released as the third single from the album in June 1988 and went to number 6 on the Billboard Mainstream Rock Singles chart. Personnel on the record were James Hetfield, vocals, guitar, Kirk Hammett, lead guitar, Lars Ulrich, drums, and Jason Newsted bass. Reload was recorded from May 1995 to October 1997 at the record plant in Sausalito, California, and produced by Bob Rock, James Hetfield, and Lars Ulrich. It was the last Metallica studio album with bassist Jason Newsted. Released in November 1997, it went to number 1 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 4X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Three singles were released from the LP. Metallica is an American heavy metal band formed in Los Angeles in 1981 by James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich. It has been based in the San Francisco Bay Area since 1983. 8 members have passed through the group since its formation. Original members Hetfield and Ulrich were joined by guitarist Kirk Hammett in 1983 and bassist Robert Trujillo in 2003. They have released 11 studio albums, 8 live albums, a soundtrack album, 4 EPs and 50 singles and have sold more than 125 million records worldwide. The band has won 2 American Music Awards, 9 Grammy Awards and 2 MTV Video Music Awards, and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2009. Their last release was the studio album 72 Seasons in April 2023. They still tour and will begin playing dates in Europe in May.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.